Palisade Radio is preparing to release an in-depth report on the fundamentals of uranium, including our top three picks for 2019. Sign up today at palisaderadio.com to be the first to receive our exclusive report.
Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell, and we have returning guest on the program today, Brian London. He is the publisher of Gold Newsletter, as well as the host of the New Orleans Investment Conference, which is coming up very shortly here, November 1st to the 4th. I know several people who will be attending. I was able to make it last year, hoping to make it down there to see you this year. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Colin.
Well, why don't we start off with talking about the investment conference. It is one of my favorite events surrounding the mining space each year. Everybody that matters comes down there. Everybody has good things to say about it. What's kind of the idea behind the show, and tell us about the venue?
Well, the idea behind the show is always to figure out what's going on, you know, geopolitically, economically, how that drills down to the various market sectors, and with a particular emphasis on metals and mining stocks. You know, we don't go into it each year having any kind of a broad theme because things change so quickly. So we try to get the best experts out there on every sector. And unlike a lot of shows, we do feature a number of geopolitical experts and commentators out there. So it's a great blend. We start broadly and drill down to each sector. And we have all of the top analysts and newsletter writers in the metals and mining sector giving their top recommendations of the year at our event.
Yeah, that's a very good way that you frame it. I think a lot of the mining shows, not to say anything bad about any of the shows, but they're very, very focused on just the mining space. A lot of the same speakers come to each and every one, and whether gold is going up, down, sideways, or whether things interesting or not are happening, it's a lot of the same talk, and it's a very just bullish, direct theme the whole time. But you bring a lot of very broad market, well-known names into your conference, and just some outstanding names. Who are some of the people that are going to be speaking this year?
Well, this year we have Robert Kiyosaki, we have Mark Stein, Jonah Goldberg, James Grant, Doug Casey, Peter Schiff, Dennis Gartman, Rick Rule, Guy Adami from CNBC, Ben Hunt, who's a very popular commentator, financial commentator, has a huge following. And as I mentioned, dozens and dozens of experts in every sector, but really a very strong focus on metals and mining. And I think it's in that regard, the timing of the conference is really important this year because, you know, I think we're on the verge of an important upswing in the metals.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Just for people interested in going to the conference, it's coming up very quickly, November 1st to the 4th, and Brian has been nice enough to provide a special link, which we're going to put at the bottom of our YouTube video, so you can click on there and get a nice price to go to the conference. Brian, I've been really interested watching the action in the gold price lately. A lot of people, thinking back to 2008, are terrified that if there's a general market crash, that gold stocks are going to get hit. And even some of the biggest pundits in the business have said that they don't know, it might. And I think one of the best answers to what could happen has been what's playing out the last few weeks. What have you seen playing out?
Well, I was one of those experts, quite frankly, that warned people if we have another 2008, you know, liquidity crunch kind of a crisis, then expect gold to be hit because that's its role. You know, it's the piggy bank in an emergency. And when the stock market's crashing and speculators need to meet margin calls, they've got to sell anything and everything that they can get their hands on to raise cash. And gold is the obvious target. It's so liquid and it's available and it's sitting there. Again, it's the piggy bank. So that's what happened in 2008. People were alternatively dumping the metal to raise cash and then buying it as a speculation and an investment. So I really expected if you would have told me a few months back that we would have had the Dow lose 1,400 points in the span of 48 hours, I would have said, well, surely gold's going to get hit when and if that ever happens. But it didn't this time. In fact, it gained $35 over those those 48 hours. And the reason is the speculators, the people who would have had to cash in gold to meet margin calls, they didn't own it. You know, for the first time since 2001, the speculators are actually net short gold. So if anything, they had to close out short positions to some extent and buy the metal. So, you know, we saw the precisely the opposite reaction, and gold actually popped during all the turmoil.
Yeah, it's been quite spectacular. I think that gold investors, people who tend to invest a huge percentage of their portfolio, myself included, into just one sector, the commodities, it's kind of upsetting to see the Dow and the NASDAQ climb year after year. Gold doesn't really move that much, and then think, wow, when the Dow crashes, gold's going to crash too. But what if, in fact, the Dow crashes and gold and gold stocks go up? Just think of the opportunity it would give us contrarians on investing moving forward.
Yeah, because these days, you know, there's the old adage that the stock market is not the economy. I think that's what we always grew up with and heard all the time. But no longer, you know, the whole goal of quantitative easing was to create a wealth effect by pumping up financial assets, equities, and real estate. And it worked. On the way up with the Fed's balance sheet, the correlation between that balance sheet and the S&P 500 was about 97%. So these days, the stock market is, to a large degree, the economy, because it represents the accumulated wealth in the American populace at this point in time. So it's, you know, it's a different world right now. So if we do have an extended stock market decline, you can bet that the Fed actually is going to come in with more easing and easing again, because it will have an effect on the economy. And that is bullish for gold. We'll just begin yet another one of these cycles where the Fed comes in with liquidity to prevent an all-out crash and elevates the markets and elevates gold by depreciating the value of every dollar in circulation.
Brian, October's activity in gold has certainly been a nice sign and very interesting. We'll have to see if the Dow and the NASDAQ and the broad market continue to correct and what kind of path they go on. But what is your feeling over, say, the next 6 to 12 months? Are you feeling pretty optimistic about where gold and gold stocks could go?
Yeah, I am. I'm a little concerned that we didn't have a late summer rally as we often do, almost typically do. And it kept getting delayed and delayed by various, you know, kind of exogenous factors in the market. And we're just beginning to see a bit of a rally. Typically, in late November, going into December, and toward the end of the year, we have kind of a down period preceding what is usually a good, strong seasonal period in January going forward. So it's going to be a bit of a strange year this year in that we're starting to rally now fairly late. So I don't know if that's going to erase the typical late year swoon or what. But I tell you what, what's really interesting to me is that we've seen gold rise or maintain gains recently over the last week or two when the stock market is crashing and when the stock market is recovering. We've seen it rise when the dollar is falling and when the dollar is rising. And that points to a number of different demand factors for gold at play right now. But the important thing is, to my mind, although we can't really pin one particular factor moving gold higher, it's obvious that investors are finding reasons to buy gold, as opposed to what we've seen over the last few months, in that investors are finding reasons to sell gold. So I think we've seen an important structural change in sentiment right now, in that there's a bias to the upside for gold, and that's good. That's what we've been waiting for. And, you know, to some degree, we just need to look at the charts and be glad for it and not try to waste too much time trying to figure out the minutiae.
Certainly. Well, as your newsletter suggests, being named the Gold Newsletter, you have a lot of focus on gold and the precious metals, but certainly you're also looking towards commodities as a whole. Have you seen any trends in the overall commodities that excite you, anything along the same lines of what gold's been doing, and how are you kind of placing your followers in terms of gold versus other commodities?
Yeah, I think structurally copper looks good to me. I think zinc looks good. I think both copper and zinc suffered, obviously, from the onset of the Trump administration's trade war with China. That's going to get resolved at some point because it really has to. So who knows what the timing is going to be. That could be a few weeks. It could be a few months. But I think that that's going to get resolved, and we're going to see a nice pop or rebound in base metals in general, but copper and zinc in particular. And copper isn't really waiting around. You know, it's starting to rebound right now. So I like those two sectors. I think those are good places to be positioned for the longer term. For, you know, in this market, you talk longer term, and, you know, for the next couple of quarters, I think if you buy at these levels with some really good copper and zinc stocks, you're going to be rewarded in a couple of quarters, two or three quarters.
Brian, any specific companies that you'd like to mention? I know those are typically reserved for people paying you for that advice, but anything to suggest to our listeners that is interesting to look at right now?
Well, Copper Mountain in Copper is a company I really like. I'm personally involved in a company called Thunderstruck Resources. That's AWE on the Venture Exchange. I don't recommend it in the newsletter because I am an insider, but it has some good copper zinc assets that the company's trying to market to potential JV partners. One of the big winners in gold newsletter has been Great Bear Resources, which has gone up almost 10 times from our original recommended level in gold newsletter so far. And I think it's got more headroom. Now, I own that stock personally, so take that with a grain of salt. But I think it offers more upside potential right now than just about any junior stock out there, junior exploration stock for sure. I like Revival Gold. I like Triumph Gold as companies that are building significant gold assets. And I think that's important at this stage of the market.
Excellent. Well, Brian, thank you for coming back on the program. I know you're busy and busier than usual as you've got your event coming down the pipe real quick here. So once again, that's the New Orleans Investment Conference, November 1st to the 4th. And we are going to include a special link for all of our listeners so that they can get to the website and sign up if you're able to attend. Brian, best of luck with the conference this year, and we'll get you back on after the conference to go over how it went.
That sounds great, Colin. Always good to be with you.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be? It actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw materials. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?